Father, we thank you so much for the love that you have for us. God, we thank you for the incredible gift of salvation that you make available to each and every one of us. If only we would put our trust in Jesus. And we thank you for Jesus, our great and awesome Savior. We thank you so much for who you are and all that you've done. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today so that we can gather together and worship your name together. Lord, would you grow us closer to one another as a church and closer to you, Lord? And right now, as we open up your word and continue to worship you, would you make your word so clear for us today? The things that we hear, the things that we internalize this morning, Lord, would you use to change us? And would the Holy Spirit do his work in our lives and continue to conform us to the image of your Son? And Lord, as that happens, may we give our glory, our honor, our worship, and our praise all to you. Allow us to live lives that proclaim who you are and all that you've done in everything that we say, think, and do. We thank you so much for who you are and all that you've done. And the things that we are going to hear today as we open up your word, Lord, I pray that they would find deep root in our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. You may be seated. Have you ever heard some news or you heard something come to light? And when you heard it, it kind of changed everything. Maybe you had been thinking one way, maybe your mind was made up, maybe you knew exactly what you were going to do, and then new information came to light, and that new information, it changed your whole outlook, it changed your whole perspective, it changed your whole mind. Well, I have some news for you. Most of you know this already, but if you don't know this, I'm sorry to inform you that I'm a Chicago Bears fan. And I gotta tell you right now, this is the best time to be a Chicago Bears fan. When they're not playing, it is a really, really good time. Because this thing happens at the end of the season and my heart is broken and I've have this resigned agony. And then the off season starts. And there's this hope. There's this promise of a better season. And you know how the story ends. I don't need to fill in the blanks there, but there is this moment during the off season where I get some news and it says the Bears signed so-and-so, or they made this change, and all my perspective, it goes from agony and pain to, oh, something might be different this time. And for all the you guys who are saying that I could be a Packers fan, here's a problem. The moment that I change loyalties, the Bears will actually win. So I'm the one keeping the Packers good, all right? So you're welcome. All right, that's enough football for the day. But I say that because I think that there are things in life that when we fully understand them, when they kind of come to light in front of our eyes, it completely changes our perspective. When I became a Christian, when I put my trust in Jesus, everything changed overnight. My entire life was turned upside down. I was rerouted to go in the right direction. And I think that there are moments along our salvation journey, moments where we see God's word clearly that everything can change. And we're in 1 John today. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. But the thing that I want to focus on before we get to those two verses is going back to chapter 1, verse 5. The previous verse, we read, "This is the message we had heard from you and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." That truth, the fact that God is light and in him is no darkness whatsoever, that truth should be one of those moments where you hear that and you understand that, you internalize that and you say, oh yes, that changes everything. Because in light of who God is, in light of who he is as the light, in that light, everything changes. C.S. Lewis was quoted as saying, "I believe in Christianity not only because I can see that it is true, but by it I can see everything else." And I think that that is something that we as believers, we need to understand, that the truth of the gospel, it changes us, but it also changes how we see life. It also changes how we approach life. And so since God is light, what are some things that have changed in us? Since God is light, we recognize because he is light, because in him is no darkness whatsoever, since God is light, you and I can have life. Since God is light, you and I can know what light is. We can walk in the light, since God is light, and in him is no darkness whatsoever, because he is light, you and I are called to walk in that light. Since God has done this incredible thing, because God has sent his perfect son to the earth to die in your place, there are some implications to that. And so everything that we read today in these two verses, and really everything that we read in the rest of the book of John, is founded on that truth. This is who God is. He is light, and in him is no darkness whatsoever. And so since God is light, you are called to walk in that light. Since God is light, you are called to love the way that he has called you to love. Since God is light, you are called to run away from false teachings. Since God is light, you and I are called to love one another and care for one another. Since God is light, you and I are called to proclaim the good news gospel message and call others to come and dwell in the land of light as well. Since God is light, let's read verse 6 then. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 6 starts off a repetition. We will find in the next few verses this phrase, if we say. We're going to find that phrase multiple times, three times in this passage, if we say. I love that. I love the phrase, if we say, because it reminds me of a stubborn little child that knows something in their mind, is convinced of something in their mind that is blatantly not true. And what does the wise adult say to this kid who is stubborn and knows what they know? Well, if you say so. John is saying this: if we say, if our perspective is, if our truth, have you heard that phrase ever before? My truth? If our truth is that we can have fellowship with God while walking in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Our reality is completely disconnected from truth if we say, I can do whatever I want. I can walk in darkness and at the same time have fellowship with God, who is light, and in him there's no darkness. Do you see the cognitive disconnect in that? And so when I put it in terms like that, it makes a lot of sense. And we all nod our head and agree and say amen and say, yeah, that's so silly. Why and how could we ever be at that place? But now, let's maybe illustrate that a little bit. Have you ever put on a mask when you come to church? Or when you come and fellowship with other believers? And I'm not talking about a physical mask. I'm talking about that fake spiritual mask that you put on your face and you say, everything is okay. When somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I've been praying for you. You've been on my mind a lot lately. How can I be praying for you? I'm fine. Okay. Well, how are you really doing? No, really? I'm great. Okay, cool. Well, how's the Bible reading time going? How's your prayer life? Spectacular. We all do it, don't we? We have this ability to pretend. We have this ability to put on a mask and say and present to one another that we have perfect little lives. That spiritually speaking, we have it all together. And here's the thing. Maybe you're sitting there today and you're saying, that's not me. Everybody can see that I'm a mess. Amen, right? But at some point in our life, each and every one of us has tried to pretend to be somebody that we're not. We have struggled with sins. We've struggled with those habitual sins that just don't go away. We've walked in darkness while at the same time trying to claim that we have fellowship with the God who knows no darkness. I've heard it been said that Christianity seems to be the only group that you have to admit that you are not perfect in order to get in. And then once you're in, you spend the rest of your time pretending that you're perfect. Oof. Now, this isn't a moment for us all to now go around and air all of our dirty laundry. That's not the point of this. There's not a point in glorifying our sins and waving them around. What John is talking about is our fellowship and our connection with God, the one who is light. So first and foremost, we need to stop pretending to one another, yes, but first and foremost, we need to stop pretending to God, the one who knows your heart, the one who sees who you truly are. We need to stop pretending with him, and we need to go back to the moment where we were saved. When we went before God and said, God, I agree with you. You have told me that I'm a sinner by nature and by choice. God, I agree with you. I feel that so deeply. Would you change me? And on a daily basis, Lord, my predisposition, my default method is to sin. And God, I hate that. I don't want that. And so I have two options. I can pretend to be better than I really am, or I could submit to you and I could allow you to change me. God, would you change me? Would you search me? Would you see if there's any grievous way in me and lead me to life everlasting? The prayer of Psalm 139 is a prayer that I think each and every one of us ought to be praying on a daily or at least weekly basis. God, I know that I am not who I need to be, but I know that you can change me. The problem of pretending is that eventually we get to the moment where we stop worrying about pretending in order to trick other people. And eventually we start tricking ourselves, right? If we pretend too much, then eventually we are pretending and we get to that moment where we ourselves don't know who we truly are. Where we ourselves are so blinded by the lies that we've told other people, we start believing our own lies. There's hope in this, by the way. Again, we're not trying to air one another's laundry. And we're also not trying to just sit and wallow in the mud. There's a reason for these verses here. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness. Now, we've already been clear about the struggles that you and I as believers have with sin. We covered this when we walked through Romans chapter 7. There's a battle, there's a war raging on within us between the natural old self and the new spiritual self. And Romans 7 and then Romans chapter 8 reminds us of the victory that's available to you and I in Christ Jesus. We have hope because of Him. We have hope that He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. We have hope that we have the Holy Spirit Himself interceding on our behalf when we don't know what to pray, when we don't know what to do, and we have hope and a great confidence that God's words in Romans chapter 8, that you and I, if we are in Christ Jesus, we're under no condemnation. So the truth of all of this is that you and I as believers, while we still struggle with sin, we have victory over that sin because of Jesus and His work on the cross. Because of the continued work of the Holy Spirit in us today. But this phrase, while we walk in darkness, is key. And this phrase is actually going to be repeated multiple times in the book of 1 John. And it's going to pick up on another theme that's in the book of 1 John. The difference between someone who is struggling with sin, but you're struggling, you're fighting, you're not giving in, and someone who just lives their life in unrepentance, who just lives their life knowing, you know what? At the end of the day, God will forgive me. That sounds a whole lot like, should we continue to sin so that grace may abound? You know what Paul says to that, right? By no means. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie. We deceive others, we try to deceive God, and we deceive ourselves. And do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as you walk in the light, we recognize that yes, we still struggle with sin, but it's not a battle that we're willing to pretend, and it's not a battle that we're willing to submit to. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that one another isn't talking about you and I. While that is a great benefit of walking in the light, it is an awesome thing that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are a part of the church and we can and do have fellowship with one another. But that's not what this is referring to. It's referring to the beginning of verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him, with God. If we say that we have fellowship with God. So verse 7, we can have fellowship with God if we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. You and the Lord God, your Savior, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The beauty of this, not pretending, the beauty of living your life in full view of God is saying, Lord, I want to walk in the light as You are in the light. I want to live my life that is informed and guided by who You are. And I want to have true fellowship with You. Have you ever had a family member? Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a sibling. Have you ever had one of those individuals that is so close to you? Have you ever had a season, maybe you're going through a season right now, where you're not talking to them? Where you haven't seen them? Oh, that breaks your heart, doesn't it? It's that thing that's within you that just, you can't get over it, and it just hurts, and it is so painful. And you look and you think about all the things that have gotten you to that moment, but are they still related to you? Are they still your family? And if they walked through the door and they fell down on their knees and said, forgive me, who wouldn't go and drop to their knees and hug their family member? The beauty of our salvation is that when we put our trust in Jesus, we're His. And we've seen that, again, in Romans, I keep quoting from it because we just preached through it, but in Romans, we see that height, nor depth, nor angels, nor anything on this earth, not even you, can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The awesome truth is that when we put our trust in Jesus, our salvation is secure, but there are times in our lives, you know it, and so do I, don't we? There's times in our life where we're walking out of step with the Lord. There's times in our life where that relationship is strained. There's times in our life where we feel like we're just going through the motions. We're just showing up to church because it's the thing to do. We just open up our Bible, but we don't actually read anything. We talk the good talk because it's just the thing that you're supposed to talk about, but we don't feel it. We're not walking in the light. We're not living our lives in light of who God is. Brother, sister in Christ, there is true fellowship with God that is available to you if you are in Christ Jesus. There's true fellowship that is available to you if you go before the Lord and say, I'm done pretending. I'm not going to say these things anymore. Instead, I'm going to live my life in light of who you are, and I'm going to trust that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. I'm going to trust that His perfect work on the cross makes it so that I can be presented as clean, as spotless, white as snow before God, the judge, God, the great Father. Because of what Jesus has done for me, I have the privilege to cry out, Abba, Father. So I'm going to live in light of who God is. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Folks, we need to agree with God. I know that sounds so easy, so simplistic, so elementary, but that's so foundational. We would agree with God in who we are and who He is. Because the way that we are to live our lives, the way that our lives are going to matter, the way that our lives are going to be lived in a way that is free of the chains of sin, the way that we're going to live a life that is worthy of the gospel that we've been called, is we agree with God. And we agree with God by allowing His light, do you remember this from last week, the spotlight to shine in the dark places of our lives. And when that light reveals something that is not right, we have the obligation, the honor, the responsibility to respond. It seems like the Christian life is a life that is filled with response. We hear the gospel message. It's our job, it's our responsibility to respond to Him. The Holy Spirit is poking and prodding us and leading us into righteousness, condemning us, convicting us of sin, and continuing to spur us on in righteousness. And our job is to respond. When we open up the Word and you read something that is convicting, you read something that kind of is a little painful, your job is to respond. When you open up the Word of God and you're told that you ought to live holy as He is holy, you ought to walk in the light as He is in the light, you have the obligation to respond. If you are to walk in the light, that means that you have nothing to do with the darkness. If you are to walk in the light, that means that you leave those things behind. Because you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we've been called to walk in the light. We've been called to share the light. We've been called to allow the light to investigate us. To shine brightly in the small little corners of our hearts. And if there's anything in us that's not of Him, we have the obligation, the responsibility to respond. And that's not always comfortable, is it? That's probably the hardest part of being a Christian. Because it's pretty easy, I would say, it's pretty easy for us to go through the motions. It's pretty easy for us to say the right words, do the right things, show up at the right times. But it's another thing altogether to open ourselves up to the Lord, to submit to Him, and to agree with Him when He says, you're not perfect. That's not fun. You ever get some criticism, some constructive criticism? Ever get that? And you know it's true. Somebody said, oh, you didn't handle that situation right. Oh, your new haircut just doesn't look good. Whatever it is, the constructive criticism that we get sometimes, boy, it hurts, doesn't it? And here's what we will do. A lot of times, as human beings, when we hear something that is painful, we'll go into these moments of defensive. We'll adopt a defensive posture. Even though we know what is being said is true, even though we felt that ourselves, we adopt this defensive posture, and what do? We double down on it. You don't like my haircut? This is what I'm going to wear for the next 20 years. Right? You said that I didn't handle that situation right. I'm going to handle it even worser. You said that I need to fix this area. Well, I am going to ignore that area. It happens all the time in our communication with one another. I'll just say this. Each and every one of us has been in the middle of an argument, and at some point in that argument, you realize you're wrong, right? And what do? We keep being wrong. Why? Because being wrong is a lot easier than admitting, oh wait, hold on, you're right. That's what we need to do to our Lord. Yep, God, you're right. I'm wrong. You're light. I don't want to walk in darkness. I'm going to leave the darkness behind, and I'm going to open myself up to your word. And as your word washes over me, this word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, this word that illuminates stuff to us, I'm going to read your word, I'm going to spend time in prayer, and as I do so, Lord, I'm submitting myself to your discipline, to your constructive criticism. Lord, I'm submitting myself to the hard things that you're going to tell me, the things that you say I need to change. God, I'm going to listen to that, and I'm going to respond. Because it is pointless for me to continue to pretend. It is not productive for me to continue to lie to others and lie to myself. No, I'm not going to walk in darkness. I want true fellowship with the Lord. And this true fellowship that I enjoy with the Lord, I know that it is possible because Jesus has cleansed me from all my sin. And so on a daily basis, I'm going to hit my knees. I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for saving me. I know I'm not who I need to be. Would you continue to make me into the person that you have saved me and created me to be? A continual submission to the Lord and the work that he's doing us in us. In light of who God is, this is how we should live our lives. In light of all that he's done and all that he is, you and I are called to walk in his light. And as we walk in his light, people around us will see. We won't have to keep on pretending. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you so much for who you are and all that you've done. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to walk in your glorious light. Lord, would you shine your light so deeply and so brightly in us that we are confronted with the things that are in us that are not of you. And Lord, when we are confronted with those things, would you lead us to respond to you? Would you lead us to leave those things behind and continue to walk in your light, to follow you in obedience, to be holy as you are holy? We thank you so much that you love us. We thank you so much that you care for us and that you are so gracious and patient with us. Help us to stop pretending. Help us to stop lying to ourselves and stop lying to you. Instead, Lord, would we agree with you and would we submit to the work that you're doing in us? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.